It is November, what is it? 15th? 15th, yeah. November 15th, 2022, 17:59 hours, Ward Green here. I was out at about, I tried to get out by 4 o'clock. Or actually, I tried to get out long before 4. I don't know what happened. I didn't get out to rake until probably 4 or maybe even after 4 because it took me so long to get changed out of my clothing, and I didn't start getting ready till about 3:45 or 15:45 hours. So, and I work, but yeah, I mean, I don't have regrets because I don't have any regrets because I got all my work done before it was completely dark, but it was 5:22 when I came in, when I was finished doing the last things I had to do, which was moving some edging, plastic edging that I had outside on the deck into the basement. That was the last thing I did. Well, I know I reorganized a couple of things out on the bench for when the snow flies, maybe tomorrow, but on the bench and the table and the two benches, I made sure they were ready for winter, and that's all I can do, I guess, now. But I raked a lot of leaves. I mean, I think I raked, I don't know how many times more than yesterday, but well, it must have been 10 times more ground that I covered. I mean, it was a lot of ground. I covered a lot of ground, and my arms, I'm in shape, finally. I mean, because I've been doing about 20 minutes every day of pretty fast work, hard work, you know. I've gotten in shape, and today I'm not out of breath either. My arms aren't really that tired, and I did a lot of raking. Instead of using the wheelbarrow, I decided I would, just rake a... After some point, I realized I chose to, because I could bang my knees on the wheelbarrow handles in the dark, right? So, and I could really hurt my knees if I bang myself on the wheelbarrow. So there's no point in doing that in the dark. So I decided just to rake it along the ground, and I could rake large piles along the ground. Just throw them ahead with the rake and throw them ahead, and I was able to rake. And just an incredibly much larger, 10 times the area, easily 10 times the area that I raked yesterday, probably more than 10 times. And there were a lot of leaves. So, and I put them all in on the one main pile, and it ended up being bigger than it's been for a long time. But I suddenly realized that'll be fine. I can just keep heaping it up and packing it down, and I didn't have to worry about where to put the leaves, and that saved me a lot of time thinking about that. Moving the leaves. I just went for the pile, and everything that I was raking was nearby to the pile. Like, all the land, all the grass that I had to rake was in the either near the pile or just on at that end of the same end of the property. So I mean, some of the wheelbarrow was useful for the furthest parts that I raked, but at some point, before I went out, I took another 3 grams of vitamin C, so I took 12 grams of vitamin C. I had another very easy sit down in the bathroom, so I know that the vitamin C took effect, and you know, because the sore throat goes away. Like if you're getting the onset now, my sore throat's coming back a little bit now because I worked so hard, maybe. And that maybe my immune system might be depressed a little bit more again now because I worked hard. So I could take some more vitamin C right now. I think I will. But if I do, I have to chew gum again to protect my teeth. So maybe I'll do that after our study. But if I swallow now, I don't have a sore throat. But I can feel like the sore throat was going away completely. And that's when you know you can stop taking the vitamin C, when your sore throat's gone again. Like, you're starting to come down with something, you're getting a sore throat, you start taking vitamin C until that sore throat completely goes away, and then you say, well, when I swallow, there's no sore throat at all. When you say that to yourself, well, you know there's no need to take more vitamin C at that point, unless you feel that sore throat coming back again, which I'm starting to feel. I'm not feeling it coming back, I'm feeling kind of like the way you feel when your sore throat's going away and you've had some kind of flu or something and your sore throat or strep throat and your sore throat's going away at the end of it. That's what it's sort of feels like now, but I'm not sure if I'm coming down with it again or if it's going away. So if I'm not sure, I should just take more vitamin C. But I think I'll be fine if I wait till after. I want to monitor this and see. I did chew gum before I went out. The xylitol gum. Anyway, I raked so many leaves. I mean, I'm not tired. Because, I mean, that's the amazing thing. And this makes me think, you know, my bones are getting stronger. It's not... And the biggest reason, like, if you're... What was I going to say? You know, I thought of something very clever that I could say, but I guess it doesn't really matter if I say something clever. But it was to do with if somebody's not ready to believe the things that I'm telling people about vitamins and the particular vitamins that I'm talking about, the way they work, how good they are, if they're not willing to listen, then I'd rather them not listen rather than me. I mean, I'd rather not have to watch them die a slow and painful death is what I'm saying, because that's what I believe happens. When we don't get calcium, here's the truth. So I'm not going to say something clever, maybe, unless I remember what it was. Because if I can't remember what it is, then it's not the right thing to say. But no, it doesn't matter if I say something clever. What matters is what I'm going to say, whether it's, you know, is whether what I'm saying is true is what matters. And it's true that calcium is the main mineral in our body, and the reason we get old is because our bones die. Our bones lose calcium because calcium is always leaving our body all the time. If we're not eating calcium, we're dying because our calcium is being depleted in our bones, and that's why we die. That's why people get osteoporosis, but that's why they get a whole lot of other ailments. The calcium is leaving their bodies. Okay, so if that's true, then the vitamin that does everything with calcium, vitamin K2, that regulates everything about calcium, that makes calcium function not just better, but incredibly well. The vitamin K2 that makes calcium do miracles in the body. That cannot be ignored, since calcium is going to cure us, or we're going to lose calcium and we'll die. Not knowing and because of not understanding vitamin K2, we will die if we don't understand vitamin K2. So if you're not going to believe that, you know, I'm not going to keep talking to you. You know, you might as well go away now, because I'm not going to keep addressing those people forever at all. I mean, I'm interested in the people who are, I'm waiting for those people. Like when I was out raking, I thought I could just vision in my mind. I can envision it. Like 100 men could suddenly come and join me and help me rake up these leaves, and it could be done 100 times faster. I did it in an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it was. It could have been done in 2 minutes, I guess, or 1 minute, I guess. Something like that, right? Yeah. Less than a minute with more help. But it couldn't be done that fast because we would have been walking on each other. But you get the point. Maybe I'm going to explain what I mean. I mean, I'm envisioning that if people were as healthy as they could possibly be, it would be nothing to help each other. It would be easy to help each other. We can't help each other because we don't have enough energy to help ourselves. That's the problem. That's a big part of the problem. It's not the entire problem. It's the issue of love as well. We need love. We need to be showing love. We need to know how to show love to each other too. That's why we're studying the Bible. But no, the amount of work I did today, I'm going to be tired in a little while. I'll be tired, but I'm not really that tired right now, not compared to how I was on the other days. So it's got to do with, and I'm taking the K2 a little more than I was before, and I think I'm going to keep increasing it because it's got the potential to, it doesn't cure infection, that's vitamin C, but vitamin K2 is the bone health, it seems to me. It does the bone health thing. And bone health is virtually everything. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yeah. In Japan, and this is not the clever thing either. I can't remember what that was, but it was something to do with going away, but it was a more clever way of putting it than going away. But if you're going to go away now, because I don't want to watch you die slowly. That was the idea, but it was the way of expressing the going away that I'd come up with, just a common expression for it. It was a clever way of saying it, and I can't remember what it was. But in Japan, they've literally done medical tests, you know, trials. They've done an experiment that proves, a study that proves, that when people are given sufficiently, not significantly, but sufficiently large quantities of vitamin K2, it reverses osteoporosis. Okay, that's a significant thing. It's incredibly significant. They don't even accept that over in North America because they haven't done those studies, but that's been done in Japan. I believe it was Japan. Anyway, I believe it was Japan. But wherever it was, it's not even important. It was done. These studies were done. We couldn't even import the vitamin K2 in that kind of concentration that they were administering to people. We weren't. It wasn't legal to import that into Canada. So, I know we didn't try to go behind the law, or you know, we didn't try to take the law into our own hands and get hold of this vitamin K2, but maybe it's legal now or not. I don't know. But, I mean, it's not necessary to do it. It's not necessary to break the law to do something like that. I also thought about something else to do with the preaching work. The disciples, when they were told, don't preach anymore, then they said, we must obey God as ruler rather than men. They only said that when they were told not to preach. Right to their face, they were told. That's why they said that. That's not a response to a law. They didn't say, well, the law says not to preach, but we must obey God as ruler. They didn't say that. They never said that. They were just saying we must obey God as ruler because these people told them to their face. And it wasn't a law not to preach. They were just told not to preach. It wasn't legal to tell them not to preach. That wasn't the law. Even though it was the legal authorities that were telling them not to preach, whoever it was, or maybe it was the priests or whoever, but whoever had the authority, it was somebody with authority who told them not to preach, but it wasn't a written law that said, do not preach. You see? They weren't responding to a law in writing that told them not to preach. If there's a law in writing, that's telling you that God has approved of this government giving that law in writing. I mean, that's a different thing. That's a much different thing. You can't say, you can say whatever you want, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that the disciples would have responded with that expression, we must obey God as ruler rather than men, in response to a written law. Obviously, it's true. We still obey God as ruler, no matter whether it's in writing or not. If the law says something that breaks God's laws, obviously we will have to obey God rather than men. That's true, right? But understand the context of what was said there. They only said we must obey God as ruler because they were told that to their face. That was the reason why they responded. So in the case of, if it's a written law, you know, if it says you're not allowed to preach house to house, well, there's other ways of preaching. You don't have to break that law. If there's a law of the land that says you can't do this or that, there's other ways of doing it. You can use your own imagination. If you're not allowed to assemble together by law, you can't have a religious gathering, you got to figure something out so that you don't break that law. That's all. Just figure something out. There's always a way. Not to avoid the law, but to obey the law. Obey the law. Simple as that. There's a way to do it. I mean, each person can still practice the true religion, even if they're not allowed to assemble together. That's not a problem, really. It isn't a problem, because God has allowed that law to be in place. And then those countries who have the benefit of that law will have the benefit of learning how to practice religion without assembling together. That's a beneficial thing to know for places where there are very few believers, where they need to know how to practice without assembling together. There can be knowledge that can be shared between different people practicing the same religion under different circumstances because of that knowledge gained by obeying the law. So obeying the law is always a good thing. But because it comes from God, the law, the authorities are put in place by God. We're told in Romans chapter 13 that there is no authority except by God, that the superior authorities are the ones. Let's look it up. Let's look it up. Let's look up Romans chapter 13. But I know there are other references, other scriptures that refer to this point. Let every soul be in subjection to the superior authorities, for there is no authority except by God. There's no authority except by God. So if there's a written law, but if they tell you to your face, don't preach, you're going to say we must obey God as ruler rather than man. That doesn't mean you're going to disobey them either. That just means you're letting them know that their authority is not the highest authority. But it says here there's no authority except by God. So you should be able to obey what they say. Now, in the case of the disciples, they had the Holy Spirit to the point where they were performing miracles and things. They knew they couldn't contain the Holy Spirit. They couldn't prevent the miracles from happening. They couldn't stop preaching, even if they wanted to. That's what was going on in those days. So, well, we'll study that more as time goes on. Where was I in my conversation? When it comes to this vitamin K2, I'm so much more physically fit today, and I know it's because of that vitamin. I know that's the reason. So what I want people to decide, I don't want to stop people from listening at all to what I'm saying. I want people to listen, but I don't want to watch people die slowly. That's what I'm saying. So if you know you're not going to ever, if you're certain you're never going to want to increase your vitamin K2, I don't want to watch you die is what I'm saying. That's all. But older people may have a problem with taking, if you're older, I have a different idea. If you're an older person, I know you're going to die anyway. But if you're worried about, the other thing is if someone's worried about me getting old, that's another thought I had today. If you're worried about me getting old, then I know, I can tell you right now, I'm absolutely confident that anyone who's worried about me getting old is going to die before I ever get old. That's what I will tell them right now. I know that to be a fact. I'm confident completely in that fact. So don't worry about me getting old. What I want to get is a nice black background page here that I can. Maybe this is it.
Yes.
Stop. Good. Nice dark background page. And I want to darken up things here. There we go. So, and I want to maximize that window. Yeah, if somebody's worried about me getting older and dying, I don't care how old you are, you're going to be dead before I get old. That's the way I feel right now. I'm absolutely confident in that. Because if you're worried about something like that, you don't have a clue about vitamin K2. You don't have a clue about anything. You don't have a clue about the first thing about health if you're worried about me getting old. Even if you're, well, if you're old enough to worry about me getting old, then you're going to die before I get old. That's the absolute truth about that. And I know that's a fact. So, I mean, you know, this idea, people always have this idea of, we'll have to have a fallback plan, you know, make sure you renew your health card and all this kind of thing. But that's that going to the doctor also. Like my paternal grandmother never went to a doctor at all. And she lived to be 94. Never saw a doctor in her life. In her life. This idea of going to a doctor is the worst idea you could ever have. I can tell you that. And so I'm going one step further than saying that my paternal grandmother, Nanny Rowe, who married Hayward Green, she lived to be 94 and never went to a doctor. I'll go one step further and say that going to a doctor is the biggest mistake that you're going to make ever. Ever. It's the worst. So don't do it, is my recommendation. But, I mean, my strongest possible recommendation, because you need to learn what's going on. Now, I mean, I've gone to doctors, though, so I can't really say by my example not to go to doctors. But I know that it didn't do me any good. And I've probably been done harm by having had booster shots and all these kinds of things. All of the things that they talk about, vaccinations and booster shots and all that nonsense, is just done by some crackpot physician who was followed by the medical authority, you know, the school of surgeons and whatever they're called, you know, in the medical profession, whatever governing body they have, followed that one crackpot who went into this vaccination thing. That's all. That's all it was. If they'd followed the vitamin C doctors, if there'd even been any vitamin C doctors at that time, which there may not have been, but if they'd followed the vitamin C experts, you know, of any time period, they would have gone a different direction, is what I'm saying, because vitamin C is the way to go, by far. Otherwise, you got to vaccinate everything. You're in big trouble. Why did Jesus say also, he that is ailing should seek a physician? Right? He that is ailing needs a physician. He didn't say seek a physician before you're ailing to make sure that you get your vaccinations. That's not what he said, because that's a wrong approach, obviously. You don't tamper with a perfectly good organism. You don't mess around. I mean, we're not even going to go into all the risks of vaccinations, because that's just not worth it, because it's a landmine. I mean, it's a minefield of landmines. It's not even a landmine. It's a minefield. It's literally a minefield. Okay, so let's stay away from that conversation. But no, I'm saying what we need to do is spend time learning about nutrition and vitamins from people who know things, like Andrew Saul, who learned from Robert Cathcart III. Robert Cathcart III was a vitamin C doctor who taught Andrew Saul. And Andrew Saul is a PhD. He's not a medical doctor, but Dr. Robert Cathcart III was a medical doctor who practiced at Incline Village, which is a small town where he was forced to practice because he was expelled, you know, abolished or whatever, what's the word, banned, or, you know, exiled from the main larger hospitals where he was practicing this vitamin C treatments. I wouldn't call it medicine so much, because it's a natural thing. Vitamin C, it's safe, it's highly effective, it's effective on all these infections, all infections, it's effective on all of them, viral and bacterial. And they didn't like that, because they have to get their money from the drug companies. The hospitals get money from the drug companies in exchange for using the drugs, and it's all a big commercial enterprise. They get all sorts of sponsorships, and there's all kinds of, you know, under the table payments, almost, you'd call them. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff like corruption in the hospitals, but it's whatever, even if it's just traditional practice that they do it that way, whatever the reason is, they won't accept vitamin C treatment. And they even try to go so far as to argue that vitamin C treatment is not effective, and they're incorrect, completely incorrect. Their reasoning is just, they won't even, I mean, their reasoning is based on saying that because because vitamin C is not, when you're healthy, vitamin C does not stay in the body. Therefore, taking more of it's not beneficial, but that's not true when you're sick. When you're sick, vitamin C works effectively. It boosts your immune system. The thing is, you need to boost your immune system, not put virus into it. I mean, you need to boost your immune system by giving, when you give vitamin C, that makes your immune system ramp up. Like, it's better than antibiotics. Forget antibiotics, yeah. You can forget about antibiotics also. Incredibly wiped, you know, completely irrelevant. Antibiotics are completely unnecessary because vitamin C, I mean, I can't, maybe there's some people who have no immune system, right? If they, maybe those people could benefit from something like that, but I mean, I guess it's vaguely possible, you know, remotely possible, but forget about generally all of these medications, including antibiotics, and use vitamin C in the way that we're taught to do by Robert Cathcart III and by Andrew Saul, who learned from him. And I've talked about it many times. I'm not going to repeat everything right now, but that all of the, and then vitamin K2 is this powerful, powerful vitamin that's way more powerful than vitamin C, which cures all infections. Vitamin K2 is everything. And I mean, that doesn't even really, I mean, I'm sure I'm going to have to go back on that, because obviously there are many other nutrients. There's iodine, there's all these other things that I'm using. Vitamin B12, I know there's all the B vitamins, which I'm not even taking every day. I could. I'm taking a multivitamin, not even every day, because this K2 is so powerful. I don't even need to take all these other things right now. But I'm going to be learning more about the other vitamins, and I'll be adding them into the discussion. But I mean, K2 is so powerful. Anyway, let's listen to Olivia Newton-John, one of the greatest singers of all time.
Olivia recently returned to her native Australia to perform before Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth of England at a Royal Command performance at the Sydney Opera House, where she sang this beautiful ballad, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, from the Broadway musical of the year, Evita. Here's Olivia.
Solutions, they're not the solutions. They promise to be. The answer was here all the time. I love you and hope you love me. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Wow. Unbelievable. Such artistry, you know? It's just so powerful. You see how she did that? It was just as much about what she didn't do as it was about what she did in that song. You know, the use of silence in addition to the use of melody and instrumentation, you know, it's just as powerful, maybe more so, the use of silence. It's just incredible. Anyway, and she passed away, I understand, this summer, so little children, Psalm 45 is on our docket today for studies. To the director upon the lilies of the sons of Korah, Maskil, a son of the beloved women. A song. What did I say, a son? A song of the beloved women. That's interesting. I didn't even know that was, I didn't realize that was the byline or the headline here in the psalm at all. But my heart has become astir with a goodly matter. I am saying my works are concerning a king. May my tongue be the stylus of a skilled copyist. You are indeed more handsome than the sons of men. Charm has been poured out upon your lips. That is why God has blessed you to time indefinite. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your dignity and your splendor, and in your splendor go on to success. Ride in the cause of truth and humility and righteousness, and your right hand will instruct you in fear-inspiring things. Your arrows are sharp. Under you, peoples keep falling in the heart of the enemies of the king. God is your throne to time indefinite, even forever. The scepter of your kingship is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness, and you hate wickedness. That is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of exaltation more than your partners. All your garments are myrrh and aloes wood and cassia. Out from the grand ivory palace, stringed instruments themselves have made you rejoice. The daughters of kings are among your precious women. The queenly consort has taken her stand at your right hand in gold of Ophir. Listen, O daughter, and see, and incline your ear, and forget your people and your father's house. And the king will long for your prettiness, for he is your lord. So bow down to him, the daughter of Tyre, also with a gift. The rich ones of the people will soften your own face. The king's daughter is all glorious within the house. Her clothing is with settings of gold. In woven apparel, she will be brought to the king. The virgins in her train as her companions are being brought in to you. They will be brought with rejoicing and joyfulness. They will enter into the palace of the king. In the place of your forefathers, there will come to be your sons, whom you will appoint as princes in all the earth. I will make mention of your name throughout all generations to come. That is why peoples themselves will laud you to time indefinite, even forever. Peoples themselves will laud you to time indefinite, even forever. This is talking about the king who would ride in the cause of truth in verse 4, and humility and righteousness. A mighty one, verse 3. Concerning a king, verse 1. In verse 2, you are indeed more handsome than the sons of men. That is why. And because charm also has been poured out upon your lips, that is why God has blessed you. To time indefinite. People will laud you. Peoples will laud you even forever. Powerful. And different from all the other psalms that we've seen so far. The sons of Korah. You have loved righteousness, verse 7, and you hate wickedness. That is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of exaltation more than your partners. Isaiah. I want to get finished because I want to take that vitamin C, and I don't want to interrupt the study to take the vitamin C. But I will be taking more vitamin C. I can feel that it's an infection that I need to get rid of. And it will be gotten rid of. The sooner I take it, the better. Maybe I will interrupt. I think I will interrupt. I need to set a good example. I need to interrupt the study just to get this vitamin C. Because if it's not, it's time. It's time sensitive. You can't wait. If you wait, you'll get sick. That if it is an infection, you will get sick. I've been taking them 3,000. I don't need the desiccant anymore. I've been taking them 3,000. 3 grams at a time is what I've been taking. But I need more now. Isaiah, we're at 25. Oh, it's a short one. I wanted to talk about the door that I'm thinking about building. And for which I've already got a doorknob, which was delivered the other day. And the wall. But tomorrow, I'm going to choke. The snow. The snow shouldn't stop me from installing a door or building a wall, but I have to do it right. In the same way that I built the other existing walls, that are not susceptible to frost heaving because they're installed with a sliding joint between the wall and the deck so they can slide up and down if they need to. If the ground does heave. So I imagine it does heave every year. I mean, the ground freezes, so whatever I've done so far has worked. But I want to be careful and come up with the most, you know, non-destructive plan. Installing a wall that's sort of, in a way, temporarily installed, not too permanently, so that I can remove it, maybe, if I need to remove it to get access to that side of the carport. I might want it to be a removable wall, or maybe hinged, but I don't have any hinges for that. Well, I've got these great hinges. They're really good hinges, but they're for the door, I think, is what that was what my plan was. I've got three hinges for the door, very good brass hinges, and now I've got the doorknob. So that was my vitamin C, 3 grams. So what you do is you write down in your book, get a good book, like a bound, buy a good quality notebook to keep notes on everything that you do. But I'll say another 3 grams, vitamin C, 1842 hours, 3 grams. But I need this vitamin C, I can feel it. I'm coming down with something, and if I don't take it, that's why I'm taking it. So it's now 15 grams. That I've taken total. That means I'm coming down with something. Maybe I'm coming down with strep throat. It could be something like that. Because normally it's a lot easier to get rid of a cold. If it's just a cold, it's like 6 grams is gone, and it's gone. Like, so if this is something like strep throat, it might take more than 15 grams. I've just got it right here, right? I can have another. I need to get rid of this, so I'm gonna take another 3 grams right now. That's 3 more. That just came out as 6 in my hand. 6 times 500 milligrams is 3 grams. So I'm going to get rid of this thing. That's the way to do it. Any vitamin C will work. It doesn't matter what kind it is. I mean, if you want to be sick for a whole week, then don't listen to me about vitamin C. But if you don't want to be sick, you have the option to take vitamin C until the infection is healed, cured, eradicated. I can take just now 6 grams at once without any problem. I can probably take a lot more than that. I might have to go sit down in the bathroom, though. 18, 45 hours, 3 grams. Vitamin C. Now, 18 grams total. You know? But if my throat is still sore now, then I should take more. Because when you have enough, the sore throat just goes away. That's how infections are treated successfully. I mean, that's how you know it's successful. I mean, I don't feel that's enough. I'm going to take more. I don't feel that's enough. It's not enough. It's just, you know, I don't feel better. Like, my health is not, it's not back to normal yet. I can feel, I still feel some issue. There's an issue with my, there's an infection. You can feel it. I don't have any other symptoms other than the sore throat, but, you know, it makes you feel a little bit different. When I was out working, I didn't get cold, even though it was about freezing. I was busy working hard. But because I was out working, that's not going to help me fight off an infection. So I took 9 grams before I went out, or maybe 12. Okay. 12. That's another 3 grams. 21 grams. Okay. That should get me through to the end of the study, and then if I'm still feeling not so well, I'll continue with the vitamin C. Isaiah 25. I'm going to chew some gum now to protect my teeth. After I rinse my mouth. So, please forgive me if I chew while I'm reading. Little children, we're about to do Isaiah 25. Okay. That's my xylitol gum. Oh, Jehovah, you are my God. I exalt you. I laud your name, for you have done wonderful things, counsels from early times in faithfulness and trustworthiness. For you have made a city a pile of stones, a fortified town a crumbling ruin, a dwelling tower of strangers to be no city, which will not be rebuilt even to time indefinite. That is why those who are a strong people will glorify you. The town of the tyrannical nations, they will fear you. For you have become a stronghold to the lowly one, a stronghold to the poor one in the distress that he has, a refuge from the rainstorm, a shade from the heat. When the blast of the tyrannical ones is like a rainstorm against a wall, like the heat in a waterless country, the noise of strangers you subdue. The heat with the shadow of a cloud. The melody itself of the tyrannical ones becomes suppressed. And Jehovah of armies will certainly make for all the peoples in this mountain a banquet of well-oiled dishes, a banquet of wine kept on the dregs, of well-oiled dishes filled with marrow, of wine kept on the dregs, filtered. And in this mountain, he will certainly swallow up the face of the envelopment that is enveloping over all the peoples, and the woven work that is interwoven upon all the nations. He will actually swallow up death forever. And the Sovereign Lord Jehovah will certainly wipe the tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for Jehovah himself has spoken it. And in that day, one will certainly say, look, this is our God. We have hoped in him, and he will save us. This is Jehovah. We have hoped in him. Let us be joyful and rejoice in the salvation by him. For the hand of Jehovah will settle down on this mountain, and Moab must be trodden down in its place, as when a straw heap is trodden down in a manure place, and he must slap out his hands in the midst of it, as when a swimmer slaps them out to swim. And he must abase its haughtiness with the tricky movements of his hands. And the fortified city with your high walls of security, he must lay low. He must abase it, bring it into contact with the earth, to the dust. And that's Isaiah 25. So look at that. The interesting idea about security. How the horse is a deception for salvation. As we learn from the scriptures also. So a fortified city is also deceptive when we build walls around a city thinking that that's some kind of security. Or people get security cameras for their buildings and for their houses, and they start to trust in their own security instead of in the security that Jehovah can bring and does bring. Even now, to his people, but the security that Jehovah will bring in the future also. Nothing is secure if it's man-made, right? I mean, we know that. It just gets more and more involved. You know, we need more security. Now we need more security. There's no end to it. You know, we need to have. You could have a vault with multiple combinations and multiple doors, and how many layers do you need on the vault before it's secure? There's no end to it. It keeps going up and up. The security that you think you need keeps increasing. I mean, it becomes much simpler to just simply say, well, if somebody wants my possessions, let them have it. If they want it that badly, then obviously they need it more than I do. Rather than taking this extreme approach to security, like building a wall around the city and all that stuff, you know. Especially a very high wall. They built high walls for security around cities, right? Big high walls, towering walls. Or like in a prison, they have big walls and then they have towers with guards with guns to shoot prisoners who try to escape. In maximum security prisons, they have this sort of arrangement. As opposed to with the apostles, when the apostles were put in prison, and there was an earthquake, and the chains were broken off of them, they could have just run away and left the prison. They all stayed there in the prison because the Christians wanted to obey the law. They wanted to be honest. They wanted to be in obedience to the authorities that were put in place by Jehovah as the government. They wanted to obey the government. They stayed in the prison instead of leaving when they had the opportunity. And when the jailer was about to kill himself, they called out, "Don't hurt yourself, we're all here." You know, so that was an example from the scriptures about how faithful the apostles were in obeying the law. And in also, it's an example of how security isn't necessary so much when people are loving as the apostles were and are still today. So that's today's study. I'm going to terminate that for now. I'm not very tired, which is strange because, like I said, I did 10 times the work today that I did yesterday. I've done, every day I did maybe 20 minutes worth of work for several days there. And they weren't forecasting any rain or snow until all of a sudden today they forecast snow tomorrow, maybe 3 centimeters or 5 centimeters or whatever, something like that. We might get nothing, though. I think we might get very little snow tomorrow, but that's fine. I wanted to get this done. And it's great to show myself that I can do it. The amount of work I did today was, and I was wearing rotten boots. I need to get those boots fixed. I don't think I mentioned that. Yeah, I'm wearing my old boots still. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I need to explain when you don't wear a boot that fits your forefoot, I mean the ball of your foot properly, the toes and the front of your foot, when it's not held in place by the boot correctly or snugly. I mean, you need wiggle room for your toes, but you need it to be held also somewhat in the front. You don't want to have your foot sliding around. In my old boots, when I'm just working normally, there tends to be pressure put on my smaller toes. When I'm pushing off that foot, my left foot, pushing off my left foot, there's pressure put on the smaller toes of my left foot. And sometimes it's a little bit painful because those toes are not meant to do that. It's because of the boot that that happens. If I were barefoot, there would be a distribution of force across the whole foot. So that boot doesn't fit well, so I'm going to be working on trying to improve that boot using the insoles when they arrive, and I'll try to if I can't improve it, maybe I'll wear one of my newer boots, one of my better boots. When I'm working, I'll have to improve my footwear, and if that means I have to wear the new boots, well, so be it. I guess I'll have to do it, but I don't want to wear the new boots and ruin them. But I can't wear boots that don't serve the purpose, that don't protect my feet, that don't feel good. You don't feel good. I guess I only noticed it today because I worked so hard today that I needed the boots to fit well. The other days it didn't matter because I wasn't working fast enough. I wasn't working hard enough, pulling hard enough, or pushing with my feet on the ground when I was raking. I wasn't doing as much, as vigorous of a work the other days as I was today. And I, you know, I didn't get out of breath, but I was, I guess I might have been out of breath at the time. I don't remember. I must have been out of breath at some point because I was working so fast. I mean, I tried to, I mean, it was like, it was less than half an hour to sunset when I went out. I think it was less than half an hour, but maybe it was about half an hour. And then the sun set, and then it was getting dark after that. So I still had a lot of daylight, but certainly by 5:30 when I came in, it was almost dark, you know. It was dark, you know, but it wasn't complete night. But and I did bang my knee one time, very slightly, on the wheelbarrow. Very slight. And I was using my upper body, you know, throwing the wheelbarrow up on the pile, tipping it out and rolling it up to the top of the pile, dumping it, and then lifting the wheelbarrow up, upside down, to let the leaves come out of it. And that was somehow, that's how I banged my knee somehow. But it's great exercise for the upper body to lift the wheelbarrow up with your arms, with the upper body. That's a great exercise. If we get snow, that will mean that I can work indoors, or maybe I'll be shoveling snow and sweeping the deck. Yeah, I think I'll be, I might be tired tomorrow. I'm, you know, I am significantly more than a little tired, you know, but I'm not, it's not like I don't have more energy. I have lots of energy left, but I feel that my muscles, my core, everything has gotten a bit of a workout, you know, as it should. Considering I did 10 times the work today that I did yesterday, it was literally 10 times the work. Raked up 10 times the leaves and, you know, and did it in about 3 times the time, maybe. So 10 times the work in 3 times the time. I worked 3 times harder for 3 times longer. That's basically what I did today. I don't know if anyone's going to notice, unless they looked at the lawn before I did it and after I did it, but Jehovah will notice. I know it was done. I know what I did. And it just tells me that if I exercise every day, I can do that and more. I can do that kind of work and more every day. If I do enough exercise to get in shape, to get my physical conditioning to that level and beyond. The thing is about K2. Vitamin K2 actually eliminates arthritis too. Like, so all the joints that have calcium accumulating in them or whatever, they're part of the bone structure and the joints and all that. That's all controlled by vitamin K2. It's all controlled by vitamin K2. All that becomes younger again when you take vitamin K2. You see, so I just don't want to watch people cripple up and die while they listen to me talk about K2. You know, if they're not willing to take the vitamin K2, then I don't want to watch them die. That's what I'm saying. That's the message for today. So, oh, reminds me of the T-shirt that Jerry Rosa was wearing, if that's his name, on the YouTube channel, Rosa Stringworks. He had a T-shirt during one of his videos that said, "I don't mind if you disagree with me." I can't force you to be right. That's what it said. So this is Ward Green, November 15th, 2022, 1905 hours. Have a great night. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.